Alexi Lalas is Fox Sports soccer commentator. Alexi Lalas joins Elliot Friedman and Jeff Blair on Primetime Sports. Alexi, thank you so much for doing this. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the Billy Squire coming in there, sounding good, ready to go, on and off the field.
We were thinking of you when we played it. Everybody needs Billy Squire in their life.
It was beautiful. I put the windows down and I cranked it, and carpool folks were looking at me strangely. They do that anyway. But...
I was going to say, it's probably not the first time.
Yeah, that's true.
Alexi, I want to talk a little bit about the MLS CBA. Obviously, an agreement was reached on the CBA, otherwise the season wouldn't have started. We're starting to see some of the details of the CBA trickle out. How do you think the players did here? Because this is, I mean, this is a difficult, I think in some ways a difficult CBA, because I'm just not certain how much actual, you know, how much fungible power the players actually had here. And I don't know, I thought that when I looked at this negotiation, having a little bit of knowledge of how negotiations have gone in other sports, my first reaction was, given what we know about this league and given what we know about the growth potential, the first thing I wanted to do if I was the players was get as short a contract as I possibly could and maybe address this again. They got a 5-year deal. Yeah. Is that a victory for them?
Yeah, I think the length of the deal is certainly something they should point to with a sense of accomplishment and success, if you will. I think when it comes to free agency, and for those that weren't following it, and that's most people, the reality is that as in any sport, it comes down to money and arguing about money and how much they're going to get. From the day that this league started back in 1996 with the single entity structure, it was understood from an ownership perspective that this was going to be a gradual but constant attempt at a clawback. And from an owner's perspective, you want to have it last as long as possible under the current system, because it limits your expenditures. When you look at the free agency part of it, they got a real restrictive type of limited free agency, and in that there is a success that they can point to. But all in all, I think they recognize that they used the moment, they leveraged it to the fullest extent. But if they had gone on strike, I guarantee the deal that they signed would have been worse than what they got now. Mm. So it's one of these where nobody's happy, and maybe that's a good deal, but when you talk to some of the players and some of the teams in terms of the votes, they were not as united as certainly they made it out to be. There are a lot of players that were not happy with this and probably wanted to go to a strike. But I'm glad they didn't, from a business perspective and from a soccer perspective.
Well, you've been a player. You've been an executive. When you look at these kinds of negotiations, which hat do you wear?
I wear the hat that's going to enable this league to continue to survive and in many cases thrive. I can look at it from a player's perspective, and you want to get as much as you possibly can, but there has to be a level of maturity, and that's why the player reps are so important when they get there. And it's easy for players that aren't in that room. That's why you have these reps, is to represent your best interest. It's easy from the outside. And when you get in there and you see some of the realities of the situation, it's not easy. And sometimes you have to make difficult decisions. And sometimes you actually have to make decisions that other players might not agree with, or necessarily, well, they should understand it, because you need to explain it to them. My hope is that the dissenting voices were heard, because that is important. They mm-hmm. are as valuable and mm-hmm. as valued as any of the majority that's out there. You can disagree, but don't let it come after the fact where you say, oh, but I didn't think that this was right or anything like that, and nobody listened to me. You have a voice. The MLS Players Association doesn't just represent North American players. It represents MLS players, regardless of where they're from, and every player should be able to have a voice.
Alexi, I want to talk about the first weekend, but before we get there, one issue that wasn't necessarily addressed in negotiations, and I quite frankly don't know how it would come up or who would bring it up, but it's an issue of particular importance for Canadian players and for Canadian teams. You know as well as anybody, as per MLS roster rules, American players and Canadian teams count as domestic players, but Canadian players and U.S. teams count as international players. And for those of us who followed the league, it's always been kind of a head scratcher, since each MLS team only gets so many international slots. That would tend to make U.S. clubs more leery about signing Canadians. Are you surprised that Don Garber, who quite frankly seems to be in a lot of ways a pretty progressive guy, are you surprised mm-hmm. that he hasn't addressed this issue?
I'm not going to claim to know every single detail of why this is in place. On the surface, yeah, it looks like something. You are a North American league, and therefore, for the North American player, if you have rules that, that enable opportunities for American players, you it should apply certainly to Canada. Canada is a huge part of Major League Soccer and an important part, and that should be reflected in the rules. Now, there are some legalities that I just don't know the details and the complexities of it when it comes to that. But you are right in terms of Don Garber and his progressiveness, if you will. It is, look, if changing the rules is going to help make the MLS teams stronger, and in this case we're talking about the Canadian teams, then I'm all for it, because they are an important part, as I said. And if you can do things that are going to help not just Canadian teams, but also Canadian players, which in turn helps the national team, that's important, because we talk all the time in the United States about how MLS helps the national team. Is that a priority? No, but it is part of what they do, and part of, and it's a byproduct of having a successful league. And while we're in competition in an international aspect, I want Canada to improve. Canada should be better when it comes to the international game. And if by doing some of those things we enable them to be better, that competition between us, between Canada, and obviously with what Mexico is, that only makes the region stronger, and I do believe helps MLS.
You know, Alexei, Toronto FC, as Jeff mentioned, won its opener the other day, 3-1. Yep. 8 years, never reached the playoffs. There's a lot of questions up here as to why that's happened. They've done the things fans wanted. It didn't work. They've done things fans didn't want. It didn't work. As in, someone looking at it from the outside, what do you think it hasn't worked?
Well, it's not for lack of money. We all know that, but just money doesn't solve everything. You know, I had the pleasure, and I do say pleasure, of working with Tim Leiwicki for a number of years, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him because he is big, he is bold, he has that beautiful arrogance that I talk about, and I learned a tremendous amount from him. And I say this about a guy who ultimately fired me, but I love these big, bold personalities. Now, the money that has been spent in the past and the money that's been spent again, I love the fact that they doubled down and they didn't crawl away after it didn't work last year and start licking their wounds. They said, look, we're going to keep making sure that we spend money to bring in players who we think are going to help us. Now, look, if Toronto doesn't make the playoffs in 2015, given the fact that they are playing in the East, all the money that they spend, the quality that they have on the team that existed and the new quality that they brought in, they're playing in a conference now also where two expansion teams are playing in Orlando and NYCFC, then they should fire every player and everybody in the front office. There is absolutely no excuse. I've always said, though, that is the place to be, because when it hits, and it will hit, look, a blind squirrel eventually catches a nut, and a very well-off when it comes to financials blind squirrel will eventually catch a nut too. When it happens, you want to be there because of that organism, because of that community and what it's meant. And whether you're Tim Bezuchenko or whether you're a Michael Bradley, if it hits on your watch, you're going to get all the credit.
And you know, and I think one of the things, Alexei, that I think has made a difference this year, first of all, I think Jozy Altidore is probably the right guy for this team at this time. And this is frankly probably the right team for Jozy Altidore at this time in his career. But also, I mentioned Sebastian Giovinco. He just plays off Michael Bradley so well. I mean, we saw that against Vancouver. He has the ball, and he's got three people around him. And Michael Bradley's probably going to find himself with more room than he's had in a long, long time.
Yep, and you got the Jozy factor and the friendship and also the understanding of that Jozy has. Not only is he a big star and he scores goals, but he understands what MLS is and maybe more importantly what MLS isn't. And that's important in terms of perspective. And we've seen in the past with a guy like Defoe, who didn't quite understand what he was getting into on or off the field, and it just didn't work. Now, when we talk about Giovinco, look, this guy is quick. He's exciting. I want to watch Toronto. And this is the second year in a row that I said I want to watch him because of these exciting moves, because of these exciting players. Now, they came out in the first game great, but we've seen this this film before where they come out great at the beginning of the season. Now we'll see how they progress. I think Giovinco is something to behold because of his quickness, because of the way he pulls into those little spots underneath. We even saw on the assist that he had to Jozy Altidore on the goal, the ability to find that little pass. I'm not saying that he's the only person that can make that happen, but When you're a big star, when you're getting paid all that money and you're a designated player in MLS, you have to consistently bring it. And whether it's Michael Bradley or Jozy Altidore or Jovinko, the other day, those designated players, you can't say that they didn't bring it. Now they have to do it game in and game out. So there is a pressure on them.
I would think that MLS was probably thrilled in some ways with what it saw out of Orlando City and NYCFC, weren't they? I mean, that was, the atmosphere was tremendous. Some of the off-color comments came through from the fans. The chants came through very well in high
good
def
crowd
on
mics,
TV.
Yeah,
they had great crowd mics. It was quite a show, wasn't it, Alexi?
It was great. 62,000 people in Orlando. And keep this in mind. You know, Orlando, what do we associate with Orlando? Well, the theme parks and this
mm-hmm.
Disney.
Yeah.
And the league, just so for some perspective, when the league started out in 1996, the way it was marketed and sold was this barnification of soccer and this Chuck E. Cheese type of approach. And it was the right thing from a business perspective to sell to kids and families and all that. But that generation has grown up, and they want a much more authentic and organic type of environment. When mm-hmm. I see those 62,000 people out there, it was important as I watched the camera pan, I wanted to see how many of them were authentic and true soccer fans, how many of them were just curious to be there. And it's going to be interesting to see what the drop-off is to the next crowd. But I tell you what, to start out, to have a great goal for Mix Discarude for New York, and then Kaká to come back, all right, with a little bit of luck, but at least to send those 62,000 people home with not a loss, and certainly to be able to see a big star like Kaká provide that winner at the end. It wasn't the perfect soccer game, but certainly they went home saying, hey, there's something here. And you mentioned the atmosphere there, all that kind of stuff with the purple over there. I was really impressed because it looked like there was a real organic and authentic type of fan there, and that is important, as you guys know, up in Toronto and as we found out in numerous markets around MLS.
We've got about a minute. Without getting us fired, what sure. is the favorite thing that ever got yelled at you in a match?
Well, for those of your listeners that don't know, I am a proud member of the Ginger Army, and I proudly have the mutant gene, as do my two children, because each year they come out with these articles saying that the redheads are dying off, and we're, you know, a small mm-hmm. percentage, and we're a minority, and so me and my wife have done our part to try to at least make us laugh for a few more generations. So usually it's involving something with my hair and how it relates to who I am. And it's amazing how people feel that saying something about red hair and being ginger, it's much more appropriate. They have no problem saying horrible things, at least on the surface, that they would never say for anybody else. But I take it with a grain of salt. I recognize my mutant gene. I revel in it. I recognize my soullessness when it comes to being a redhead. So mostly that kind of stuff we're talking about, them yelling at me.
Alexi, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much for doing this. Be well.
You too. Thanks for supporting the game, and let's have some good stuff on and off the field from the Great White North and down below here.